Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is.
Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it, this is it, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated 37, no, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, so that means at one point in time I could really fight, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I've been schooled in the world of journalism. Straight up, I'm one of a kind. But guess what? The average boxing fan, you're a little bit different. You buy the pay-per-views. You look at the websites. Tell me what's happening in the world of boxing in your mind. Here's the toll-free, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. We are live, of course, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Straight up, Ring Talk Live Worldwide for 2 hours. We'll talk about boxing and mixed martial arts. Of course, last night, Amanda Serrano became the undisputed world featherweight champion at 126 pounds. She's 34 years old. She had like 50 fights. She's making big money now because of Jake Paul. Jake Paul, we'll talk about him in a bit. Of course, he's going to take on Tommy Fury, who's the brother of heavyweight champion Tyson Fury. Guess what? Tommy Fury's fought guys that are worse than bums. I kid you not. Straight up, we'll talk about that and more. Of course, the MMA world as well. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, in 1,000 other internet platforms. At 20 minutes past the hour, we're bringing Boxing's PhD and put him on the spot. We'll talk about Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. After the break, it's boxing results and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Soul side of town. Talk about my man, of course, Jerry Cortez on the guitar. That is Tower of Power, folks. Check them out at towerofpower.com. Originally from Oakland, California. Now they are from all over the world. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. Of course, let's talk about the fights Friday night. Emmanuel Navarrete. Wow, what can I say about him? At one point in time, I thought he was the best Mexican fighter in the world. Not anymore. The other night, he showed all kinds of flaws, all kinds of leaks. In other words, if he was a boat, he would have sunk three or four times. I kid you not. Straight up, he was fighting Liam Wilson. Liam Wilson came in at 11-1, very green per se. I think the one loss on his record, he had avenged by knockout. So he wasn't a big puncher. He was from Australia. He brought a good following this thing, had a good spirit this thing, had some really good skills, really slick, really smart. But in the end, he wasn't strong enough to batter Mr. Navarrete. Anyway, he had Navarrete down. I mean, he had him down, I think, in the fourth round, and hit down hard, and he didn't jump on him. When you're the opponent in boxing matches, let me tell you, you're not supposed to win. If you're the B guy, the B side of the record, you're not supposed to win. When you go into another guy's hometown, you're not supposed to win. The promoter's against you. The boxing establishment's against you. The judges are thinking, well, you know, we want to probably slightly lean towards the hometown guy. In other words, the hometown guy's got all the advantages. The opponent has no advantages, none whatsoever. Every disadvantage is in his corner. Guess what? If you can score some type of a knockdown or turn the fight around on a cut or maybe close somebody's eye or something like that, guess what? All of a sudden, you're in the game. You're in the game. You've got a shot here. But guess what? Liam Wilson didn't jump on Navarrete like he should have. I would have jumped on him. Put it this way. They would have arrested me for domestic violence afterwards. I kid you not, if we were gay. I would have jumped on him like you wouldn't believe. Oh, it would have been done. There's no way in the world I would have let him off the hook. You don't let hurt guys off the hook when you're the opponent. Why do I say that? Because you're not going to get another chance. You weren't supposed to get that chance. You weren't supposed to. And Liam Wilson didn't jump on it. There wasn't enough urgency in him. The next round, Navarrete was still hurt. He was still hurt. And anyway, I can't say enough. Lack of killer instinct, call it what you want. Maybe not enough of being on the big scene, the big stage. We're talking about Liam Wilson of Australia. He goes back home with his lovely wife and kids at 11-2. Navarrete, can I say, no longer the best Mexican fighter in the world. Speaking of Mexican fighters, Roberto Duran, of course, he's got some Mexican in him. He's Mexican and Panamanian. His father was from Mexico, I believe, Mexican-American, a Marine, if I'm not sure, in the Vietnam War back in those days. Anyway, bottom line is, Roberto Duran said this week that Canelo Alvarez is the best Mexican fighter he's ever seen, better than Julio Cesar Chavez, better than anybody. Okay, come on. Roberto must be getting paid on those pay-per-views. You know what I'm talking about? Like doing the television. In other words, Canelo says, hey, man, come do the TV for me, and I'll give you $5,000, $10,000, something like that. They must be giving Roberto a bunch of money for him to come out and say that, because that's pretty. I mean, I just don't think he's being serious when he says that. Anyway, the best fighter in Mexico right now, that's up in the air. Used to be Mr. Navarrete, without a doubt. Used to be Mr. Navarrete. Not anymore. At one point in time, was Canelo. But let's be honest, when you look at Canelo the last couple of years, of course, lost to Bivol, barely got by on the points as far as points were concerned, 115, 113, barely got by Triple G in his last fight, and he looked like spit in that fight. He did. You're only as good as your last fight. He didn't look good in that fight. He didn't look good in his fight before that. So there's two fights in a row he hasn't looked good in. I mean, let's be honest, it's time to stick a fork in Canelo Alvarez. If you didn't see that in that Triple G fight, you weren't watching the fight. I mean, he looked soft. He looked doughy. I mean, my guy in the other room, my producer, has got more muscle tone than Canelo after that fight. And we're not talking about being taut and trim. No. He made the weight. It looks like he just basically made the weight. He didn't look trim. He didn't look taut. His facial bones weren't cut the whole nine yards. He just didn't look like he was in shape. And from that performance, you know, it didn't look like he was really there to do anything. It looks like they shook hands in advance. Him and Triple G shook. They must have shook hands. They must have, because Triple G never went after him when he missed so violently. I mean, Canelo would throw this left hook and he would miss so wide that if you didn't counter it with a right hand or a left hand, a jab and a right hand, you were a boxing idiot. You have flunked boxing 101. You don't deserve to be in nursery school in boxing. But Triple G never pulled the trigger. He just never did, because he didn't want to win. Oh, I just got a text here. Shot me a text here. Back to Liam Wilson. Okay, the Liam Wilson-Valenzuela Navarrete fight. The count was too long. Without a doubt, that Mexican referee, I think he gave his guy the benefit of the doubt. Without a doubt, in my mind, that stunk really, really bad. But, you know, it wasn't one of those things like Nigel Benn and Gerald McCullen when, you know, Nigel Benn got knocked out of the ring. And in London, of course, got knocked out of the ring and onto the floor. And the referee didn't even like, yeah, you know, no big thing. And you know, I think you're supposed to, if you get knocked out of the ring, I think you get a 20 count to get back. But he was like out there for a couple of minutes, right? And Gerald McCullen, I would have cut his gloves off right then and there. Had Emmanuel Stewart been in that corner, of course, Emmanuel was his original trainer and manager, and they parted ways. But had Emmanuel been there, he would have done the same thing. In other words, we're watching an atrocity take place. We're watching Nigel Benn laying out on the rolling around outside of the ring for longer than 20 seconds. For longer than and even if you say it wasn't 20 seconds, it's a 20 count. Well, come on, man. You can count to 20 backwards, and the guy still wasn't getting up. He just wasn't getting up. So Nigel Benn, of course, went on and stopped Gerald McCullen about the seventh or eighth round in that fight. Of course, McCullen would suffer serious brain injuries. He's blind. He's trying to get his act together now he's starting to get his act together now, believe it or not, you know, 15, 20 years later. And he's getting it together through therapy, these therapy and these drugs. So evidently, he's doing better than he was. But imagine that. You go into a fight, and you knock some guy out of the ring, basically gets a knockout. You've won. You've won the hand at blackjack. You're playing blackjack in Las Vegas. You've got a king and an ace in your hand. You've won. No. They give it to the guy with a 10 and a 7, the 17. Nigel Benn didn't deserve to win that fight, of course. And Liam Wilson probably got a long count the other night. Do I think he'll do better in a rematch? I don't think so. I think this was his day in the sun. What I mean by that is, when Jeff Fennec fought Azuma Nelson back in 1989, he fought him on the Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard undercard. Of course, Tommy Hearns won that fight. It was a draw, but Tommy Hearns won that fight. Ray Leonard would admit it later. But on the undercard, Azuma Nelson took on Zuma Nelson, defended against Jeff Fennec. I think Fennec was moving up 4 pounds of weight. Of course, the kid from Australia, the phenom, no doubt about that. Anyway, Fennec cleans up on him. I mean, I was like 8-4, 9-3, something like that. I'm not even scoring the fight too much, okay? I'm not even scoring it, right? And they called it a draw afterwards. And I looked at Jeff Fennec, and he started crying. And me and Jeffrey, I mean, he started crying. And we were together after that. Later that night, we were together. And went around Las Vegas a couple of spots doing things, this and that. And he was lost. He couldn't get it together. He was never focused on boxing after that. He was never able to rise to that level again. In other words, you just can't do it. This emotional, this physical thing that he built himself up to, this mental strength, it was all taken away from him by a bad decision in boxing. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that boxing, you know, people say, oh, man, just give him a rematch. No. Rematches don't work, because a lot of times you can't duplicate the emotional and the physical performance you did the first time, especially after getting screwed. Anyway, last night, Amanda Serrano, of course, sold out the, I think they're calling it the Hulu Garden now, the YouTube Garden, something like that. It used to be called the Felt Forum. Of course, that's a little place next to the Madison Square Garden. She didn't swell out the big arena. She sold out the smaller arena. Amanda Serrano now 44-2-1, 30 KOs, 34 years old. She beat up on a girl by the name of Erica Cruz. Erica came in very game, a Mexican fighter, very game, 15-2, not a puncher, though, 3 KOs. Amanda Serrano, 44-2-1 with 30 whacks, so she could punch a little bit, okay? This other girl couldn't punch all that much, but she was tough, she was durable, she was gritty, the whole nine yards. She came to try, she knew her country was on the line. Let me tell you, when you're from Mexico, you fight with the pride of Mexico on your back. You have it there. You have to have it there. If you're a Mexican fighter, you feel that way. Now it's transforming to the women. I mean, this chick, Erica Cruz, she was there. She was game last night. She was not going to get drilled. She was not going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. She was game. I mean, the distance, the scores were pretty wide, 8-2 in rounds and 7-3 in rounds. I mean, but the bottom line is you got to give her some credit for going 10 rounds with Amanda Serrano. Amanda Serrano was rocking and rolling, throwing some nice combinations. But Amanda Serrano is 34 years old. That is long, long, long in the tooth for a boxer, okay? Especially a female boxer. Because I got to tell you, man, you know, I don't want to sound sexist. I really don't want to sound sexist. But when you look at the big picture, I mean, the women have a smaller skull. Their skull is smaller. So you would think that it's going to be easier to damage them permanently. I mean, just from looking at it from a physical point of view. I mean, you know, it looks like they can be damaged a little easier than a man can. They don't have the thick skull that a man has. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I'm a big guy as far as CTE is concerned, and that's chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Woo, I think I said it there pretty good. Anyway, but straight up, you know, I'm into that. And when I say into it, I'm not into it per se. That's not my hobby or anything like that. But it's a part of boxing. It's a part of MMA. Of course, we're going to do a show in a couple weeks after the Super Bowl here on Sports Byline Broadcast. And we're talking about CTE. We'll bring in Dr. Nitin Seti of the New York State Athletic Commission. He's a neurosurgeon. He's also the number one brain doctor for the New York State Athletic Commission regarding boxing and MMA. I'll put him on the spot as far as MMA is concerned. In other words, a Canadian study of late says that MMA is 3 times more likely to give you CT than boxing. That's 300% more. 3 times more likely. And the NFL, guess what? The NFL is 2 times more likely to give you CTA than boxing. Wow. Am I trying to say boxing's safe? Hell no. But football and MMA, a lot more worse.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a Pack Rat. Join the Pack Rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, Pack Rats.
Call 800-569-7208.
800-569-7208. 800-569-7208. That's 800-569-7208.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Some boxing headlines. The 25-year-old Puerto Rican knockout artist at one point in time, I think he was 16-0 with 16 first-round knockouts. Now he's been exposed to an extent. 25-year-old Edgar Berlanga, 20-0, 16 wax, of course, is a free agent saying that, you know, he'll fight all the big guys. Really? Who cares? You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Let's go to a guy that really does care. I'm talking about boxing's PhD. Mr. Socrates Palmer comes to us from the Bronx. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. Trying to enjoy the last few hours of the weekend.
Okay.
What better way to do it than with my brother?
Okay, so what's happening in the world of boxing, man? This is a Sunday late show, special edition. Talk to me.
We are at the aftermath of a really entertaining main event last night here at the Hulu Theater, the Small House of the Garden, mm-hmm. with Amanda Serrano and Erica Cruz. They really put on a war. You know, it was a no nonsense, no one took a step backwards type of fight. Probably a little tougher than what Team Serrano expected. And
Cruz was more tough than she was skilled, though. Don't you think?
Yeah, and I think also experience was a big factor. You know, I didn't think when I saw the records, I said, and Amanda Serrano, that was her 47th fight. You know, she had triple the experience of Cruz, and she was tough. She was very, it was very interesting dynamic in her corner. She got into like some spats with her cornerman. You know, she seemed a little annoyed, but she really, her stock didn't drop at all. And I think we might have seen a little chink in the arm of Amanda Serrano, and not necessarily her game, but just father time.
You know, she's getting old a lot. She's getting old, man.
Father time's undefeated.
She's 34 and Mama Time's undefeated too. She's she's 34 years old. And, you know, and I was looking at her last night and I just say to myself, you know, she looks worn. I mean, too many times making the weight this and that. She just looks worn. Doesn't look like she's got a whole lot left. And of course, she's going to take on Taylor.
Katie Taylor.
Katie Taylor, the world lightweight champion, who she got jobbed against in that last fight. It's going to happen in May.
May 20th, according to Eddie Hearn, who jumped in the ring post fight, they made that announcement, and it's going to be in Ireland. So, if she got screwed in her hometown, I wonder how it's going to be fighting in Katie Taylor's backyard. But Katie Taylor also looked shock worn as well. So really like the cash out fight for both ladies who have really really class acts. I mean, they have elevated women's boxing. The two best of their eras fighting each other, and I expect another close fight.
Wow, you got a good point there. Now I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Roberto Duran says Canelo's the best Mexican fighter of all time. You think those pay per views that Canelo's given Roberto to work on, is that having some type of an influence?
Sometimes you got to talk good about someone who's giving you a check. you know what? I mean, look. The argument can be had. You know, it's debatable. Now, you know, it's the good thing about boxing as opposed to other sports is that weight classes are weight classes, and they've been that way for 100 years, more or less, right? Mm-hmm. You know, despite, you know, the little mini weight class that we have, you know, back 50 years ago, there was no 154 pounders. So, but what Canelo has done, he's the biggest superstar that Mexico has had. He's probably, I mean, Julio Cesar Chavez was a star, crossover, definitely a Latin idol. You can make the argument that Chavez fought the better competition, and he beat the better competition. I don't know how many Hall of Famers Canelo has beaten in his career.
You know what the difference between the two? You know what the difference? I'm going to interrupt you. You know what the difference between the two is? Canelo's got the internet.
Yeah, you're right. It's a different way to pop up, and he's not even that viral. Like, he's not like Ryan Garcia. Let's say wait till the next era. Next era is you know, or this era that we're in now. Yeah, the you know, stardom now is accounted for by how many Instagram and Twitter followers you have. I still lean towards Chavez being the greatest Mexican of all time just because of the resume that he fought. And as far as we know, he was a clean fighter. You know, Canelo will always have that scarlet letter on him for testing positive for PEDs, whether it be by accident or not. It's still there, right? Okay. And you look at the resume, Edwin Rosario, Hector Camacho. That's two Hall of Famers right there, and that's just on the top of my head. He shared a ring. Yeah, I mean, he shared a ring with Pernell Wettick, although he got a gift.
He got a gift there, and he got a gift in the Frankie Randall fight. When they stopped that rematch, they pulled some crap and stopped their rematch, and they gave Randall another fight like 10 years later.
Yes, yes, and the same, and you can make the similar case to Meldrick Taylor as well.
Oh.
The rematch happened way past Meldrick's prime, you know. But those are two guys that, in any era, would be great fighters. I'm not sure if someone, I mean, who's the best fighter Canelo's actually beaten? Maybe Austin Trout, Caleb Plant. You got to kind of struggle, you know. Canelo's a superstar, and he's the best Mexican fighter of the last 30 years. I'll say that.
Okay, Alicia Bumgarner. She had a pretty good fight with a lady by the name of Elhelm Miklund. Of course, Miklund lost. It was a decent fight across the board as far as scores were concerned. It was like one side, a wallop, almost a shutout. But the bottom line is women are getting on the front page. I mean, these two chicks stopping the Hulu. They sold the arena out. Do you know what the gate was?
I don't know what the gate was, but the Hulu Theater normally tops out at about a little over 5,000. New York City is a good fight crowd. It's still a good fight town, you know, and they had a lot of local guys. Richardson Hitchens, who had a brilliant performance last night. Brooklyn guy beat a New Jersey rival pretty easily in a fight that I thought was going to be a lot more competitive. But, you know, he saw some separation there. And back to the original thing about women's boxing and headlining the Garden, Alicia Baumgartner really put on a great display. It's just women's fights. I mean, the talent pool in women's boxing obviously isn't as deep in men's. So the quote-unquote big fight is easier to make, you know. And the women, there you know that they have to show up, you know. And the two-minute rounds breeds for more action as well. A lot of people say they wish it was a three-minute round. No, I think leave it the way it is.
Leave it the way it is and make their gloves smaller. I think if you made their gloves smaller, even be more dynamic. But straight up, women's boxing taking its taking it center, taking fronts. You know, I'm happy for the women. And the bottom line is, you know who made this all happen? Jake Paul.
Jake Paul has definitely helped. Yeah,
he gave her the big money. I mean, she made 25 grand in her entire career, I think, or the most she ever made was 20. And then she got a fight with him, and she made 125. Before that, she made 250. After that, she made 250. Then she made $1 million. I mean, she should blow Jake Paul almost.
Oh. Well, she's single, as far as I know, and Jake Paul does live in Puerto Rico, so maybe some arrangement could be made.
Jake Paul lives in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's some people that say the reason that they live out there, him and his brother, is like a way to get out of it's like a tax loop. But from my understanding, Jake Paul's girlfriend is Puerto Rican, and I think that's also plays into it as well.
Do you know, there's another American, a former kickboxer, is being held in custody in Romania. Do you know who Andrew Tate is?
Yes, I do. Andrew Tate. He's a very polarizing figure.
Is that the understatement? Is that the understatement of the century thus far, or what? I mean, the guy's he cheers people on. He tells people that rape is good and that kind of good stuff. There's all kinds of crazy stuff, man. I mean, good Lord.
I read the other day that a third of United States teenagers from like 15 to 18 follow this guy.
You got to be careful who's raising your kids, you know.
Holy that's for sure. Cow.
And the internet, yeah, the internet is I mean, look, he does bring up a couple of points that it's okay to be
no,
proud
no, no,
to be,
no, no.
You know,
the bottom line is the bottom line is he's a sex trafficker. The Romanians got him. They got him. They're not going to let him go. He's done. Stick a fork in him, okay? He don't care. He all that money he had and that kind of good stuff. He has a lot of money, a lot
does
of cars.
He? Yeah.
He's done.
Supposedly. Yeah, I mean, then again, we don't even know because the world of internet is such a fantasy, you know, social media. Who knows if those cars are really his or all that, you know, all the stuff that he proclaims. You know, I mean, it's
No. They seize over $12 million in cars and $15 million bucks in property. So evidently the Romanian government put this on the list. So evidently he's got some money. But guess what? He ain't got it no more.
Well, you know how he made his money originally was kind of like being an internet pimp, putting a lot of these girls like managing.
Here's what he was doing in Romania. He was telling these girls they had to perform sex acts on the camera for these guys watching and putting like a quarter in the machine or something like that, putting money in the machine for fans only and that kind of good stuff. And he was telling them they had to do it. And if they didn't want to do it, they were going to get hurt. And they were locked in rooms and locked in houses and not seeing people, couldn't go out without another girl and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I hope him and his brother go to jail for a long, 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 can I say it some more? Long time.
You know, it's a disgusting crime. And if they're guilty, then absolutely they should be thrown under the jail.
Okay, I want to talk Benavidez plant. You got a second after the break?
Absolutely.
All right, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking world of boxing and MMA. This is a special edition coming to you at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. Coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
This is sponsored by IBM. The 65th annual Grammy Awards red carpet will see the return of one very special guest, IBM Watson's artificial intelligence, delivering a data-driven fan experience during the show. Grammy Insights with Watson draws from over 20 million sources to share info about hundreds of Grammy nominees and winners live on screen as they walk the red carpet. Christy Kolsky, IBM Program Director.
Music's biggest night is loaded with exciting artists and creators, and Grammy Insights with IBM Watson elevates the fan experience by sharing their inspiring stories on screen as they walk the red carpet, as well as on the artist pages on Grammy.com. This year, IBM is also helping the Recording Academy with design, implementation, and management of its member experience on Salesforce, developing world-class personalized journeys for more than 22,000 music professionals around the world.
Visit live.grammy.com during the 65th annual Grammy Awards red carpet live stream on Sunday, February 5th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time to see Grammy Insights with Watson.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How does that grab you?
Well, I'll tell you right after I get violently ill.
Al Lewis, Grandpa Munster, good guy, shook his hand once. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Come to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay. Got a text here, a second text for Socrates. Sock, did Liam Wilson, was he the victim of a long count there or what?
With Navarrete in the mouthpiece?
Yeah.
You know what? I think the referee did a bad job. And I don't know if it was intentionally or if it was just incompetence. You know, the protocol and the announcers, no one jumped on that fact. That was, he got an extra 15 seconds at least. You know,
you're only supposed supposed to get a minimum of 10.
Right. Well, to get up, right, and then the mouthpiece, you know, he basically let Navarrete put it, take them up, put it in, and let's get the fight going. It definitely helped Navarrete without a doubt. And Liam Wilson, like we said yesterday, his window was only so big. You know, he was brought in as the B side, and he didn't capitalize. And Navarrete, like a true warrior, took advantage of that break.
Okay. Now, if I'm going to ask you a yes or no question, okay? Is Eddie Hearn successful? Eddie Hearn.
Yeah.
Okay. How can you lose? How can you be successful and lose $3 billion?
Well, DAZN. Are you referring to DAZN Network?
Yeah.
Or I mean, I don't know if he's the owner, but he definitely is the face of DAZN that we think of, and they have a lot of other programming that's just. It's not my cup of tea. Look, the initial idea, it was a great idea. And then they had, of course, the star of all stars in Canelo Alvarez. Then they had Anthony Joshua's rise. You know, it was popping, Golovkin. But 2021 was not a good year for DAZN. 2022 was not a good year either. And, you know, you can only fool people for so long.
Okay.
And then the prices go up. Come on, there's no way that DAZN should cost more than Netflix or HBO Max. It's just ridiculous.
Somebody asked me the other day, why aren't the big fights being made today? In the old days, Don King and Bob Arum would throw rocks at each other, cuss each other out on TV, threaten to sue each other, you name it. They even had a little beef April 7th, 1987, when Don King tried to get in the ring after Marvin Hagler got defeated by Sugar Ray Leonard. But those guys were willing to work together to make the buck, to make the big event. Is Al Haymon the impediment? Is he the reason why big fights aren't being made in boxing? Can you point at him and say that?
He seems to be the easy target. And he's been around for a long time.
Now he has.
HBO, he basically ruled HBO for the last 5 years of its existence, you know, at least. From what I remember, Taylor, the middleweight.
Jermaine.
From Arkansas. Jermaine Taylor, thank you, sir. Back from Jermaine Taylor and Andre Berto, he had those guys. And, you know, he's the easy target, you know, but at the end of the day, the fighters have to take some accountability as well. I think the problem is the money, obviously. I mean, from my understanding, he doesn't take a cut or a very minimum. And, you know, fighters, they count their beans, you know, and if they can still get a good payday with minimum risk, they're going to keep doing that. So I think it's Al Haymon. I think it's the fighters. I think it's the network's lack of power. You know, I think having so many networks on TV kind of has hurt, because if you had just like the big two like we had just 10 years ago between HBO and Showtime, there's only so many places you can go. So they have more power, and I think that's also a factor.
Okay, real quick question for you. I've been looking all over the internet. I can't get a bet on Ismael Villarreal and his fight coming up. Why?
Because it's two guys that they're prospects, and the winner of this is going to elevate themselves. Maybe you'll find it towards maybe that week of the fight, February 17th, headlining Showbox. As you know, I'm very, very vested in this. It's a big step up for Ishmael, and it's also a big step up for his opponent.
Okay, what's his opponent's name again?
Two guys that are 12-0.
What's it?
He's also 12-0.
Mr. Collins, right? Because of Collins? No, we're both blowing his name right now. Yeah, it only happens on listen, Sock, it only happens on
Holmes.
Holmes, that's where yeah.
Holmes, yes. I don't want to kill the young man's name. Okay. Ardriel Holmes, out of Flint, Michigan, who's coming in 9-0 and Ishmael is 12-0. I mean they're both 12-0 and they're gonna fight in Kansas.
It looks like Ishmael's fought a better level of opponents.
Yeah, as of right now, he has, you know, including his last fight, the last fight he had in the Barclays Center against another undefeated guy. You know, he stopped him. And, you know, he's hungry. You know, he's definitely hungry. He comes from humble beginnings. He comes from the Bronx River Projects, okay, in the Bronx, New York. Who is the most we have two famous things that come from the Bronx River Projects. Aaron Davis, former junior middleweight champion, Superman Aaron Davis. And it's also the birthplace of hip-hop. You know, that's where hip-hop got his start. So hopefully Ishmael Villarreal is the third thing that comes out of Bronx River that's worthy of note. And it should be a good competitive fight. I mean, two undefeated guys headlining Showbox. And Showbox has always been the springboard for the future stars of the sport. So I hope that I have to be biased and honest. I hope Villarreal goes to 13-0.
Okay. When you look at the world of music, they aren't selling any records anymore because people have sort of figured out how to get, you know, how to steal records, YouTube, all that kind of good stuff. In the world of boxing and pay-per-view, most people I know have got a pair of binoculars and they watch the fights through somebody else's window. What I'm trying to tell you is I don't know too many people buying pay-per-views. Are there enough squares out there buying pay-per-views to keep these guys alive?
Well, I mean, the squares, they got to be dying off, right? I mean, you figure the people that buy these pay-per-views are people that are invested in it. Because I've had people tell me straight up, lawyers in the sport and people that work for a certain promotion, say, I support boxing, so I buy my ticket or I buy the pay-per-view. And, you know, more respect to you. But, I mean, let's face it. I mean, these are not the greatest economic times. And the prices that these people are asking for are ludicrous. And, and the fights that are going on pay-per-view are even more ludicrous.
Yeah, exactly. The quality of the product.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian Broner is fighting Michael Williams on pay-per-view, and I think it's going to be about $40 to watch.
$39.99.
Really? Yeah, I mean, come on, really? You know, it's just pay-per-view is supposed to be for special things, right? Special events.
You know what? I think I'd pay $39.99 to watch Adrian Broner in court. I mean, I think he's a character in court trying to explain to that judge when he had that picture of him and $150,000 laying on his bed, and he went to court like a week later and said, I only got $12 in the bank, something like that. The judge said, how do you do? He goes, well, people lend me money. Yeah, okay, anyway. Let me get to the fight March 25th. Of course, the 168-pound fight between Caleb Plant, the once-beaten lad, got stopped by Canelo Alvarez, 22-1 with 13. Take it on, I think, the monster, 26-0, 23 knockouts, David Benavidez. David Benavidez getting a little ghetto on me. I didn't like the way the ghetto stuff in the last couple of weeks, but he's got, you know, I think he's been on a choke chain too long, and I think he's ready to rip his leash loose.
The press conference I'm sure you're referring to, and it got very nasty and personal. The Benavidez camp said that Caleb Plant was using the death of one of his, I guess, an unborn child as like kind of like a press clipping clout. And during the press conference, Caleb Plant said that he's going to be the fighter that comes on weight and he's not going to have any cocaine in the system. So it got really personal and nasty. You know, a lot of four-letter words exchanged, so it should materialize into a real, real good fight.
You know,
I'm with you. Benavidez is a beast.
I know, but here's what's up. I mean, I'm not trying to say cocaine is cool or anything like that, but if you get popped for cocaine, you go clean on it, and they test you when you're clean, because the WBC has been testing his ass off, okay? They have. They don't want him going awry. I mean, let's be honest. They think he's a future superstar as well. He could be the guy that beats Canelo Alvarez. But the bottom line is, how can I put this? Caleb Plant and him, there's really a lot of animosity here. And you know what? I think this is sort of good because this may crank up the so-called pay-per-view numbers if there's some interest in the fight.
Yeah, absolutely. It should. I mean, the people at Showtime should be elated. You know, the behind-the-scenes shows that they do, I forget the name, that should be, you know, that should be appointment viewing. And animosity is good to a certain extent. Hopefully, you know, nothing happens prior to, you know, to the fight. Nothing, no nasty incidents at the weigh-ins. You know, we don't get any Larry, was it Riddick Bowe, Larry Donald type of stuff, you know. But they leave the punching for when they get paid to do it.
Okay. So. I just got a text from Vinny Pazienza, of course, the Pasmanian Devil, Rhode Island, is his native, of course, native home. Anyway, he texted me last week. He said, about hanging me up on the show. He says, oh, my effing, my effing God. I'm mentally effed. Sorry. Let's go again. 100% yes. Call me. So I called him today. I left him a message. I said, 8:35 tonight Eastern time. Will that cool? Is that cool, Vinny? And he sends me back a text just now. Pedro, I just hung up with my PR girl. Got a big documentary filming right now. Can't do any media until it's over. Go figure. I got to do my Elvis act. Because I call him Elvis. He's harder to get a hold of than Elvis Presley. But the bottom line is, that's why Vinny Pazienza just stiffed me for hour number two.
Wow. What? I mean, he's a character, to say the least.
Well, you know, he was very popular at the WBC convention. I think all in all, Roberto Duran was probably the most popular figure there, but Vinny was probably one of the most fan-friendly guys out there. I mean, he signed everything until his hand almost fell off.
Yeah, when he was in his prime, I couldn't stand him, to be honest with you. I definitely was rooting for Greg Haugen when I was a kid.
Because he's a heel. He's a perfect heel.
Yeah. I wish we had a guy like that today, you know.
Well, is that what boxing needs? Personalities, but it's got personalities, but the personalities have to fight one another.
Absolutely. I mean, all sports benefit from guys that are able to transcend, you know, and that can branch off and be characters, but within reason. I mean, you don't necessarily want a guy that's a jerk, but you need personality. You need guys like Ricardo Mayorga, Hector Camacho, Vinny Pazienza. You know, and boxing was always really good at that. Prince Nassim Hamed, Adrian Broner, you know, is probably like one of the last that we've had, you know, but he's got to start doing some winning because, you know, it's cool the joking and making people laugh at press conferences, but we got to rack up some W's.
You know, speaking of Hamed, I think he fought on Johnny Bungu in London and he entered on a magic carpet. It was really a cool scene. And after the fight, I'm in his dress room and I smell this weed. I know what weed smells like. And I smell this weed. It was like the dankiest weed I think I've ever smelled in my life. And I was thinking to myself, this stuff's illegal here in England. Who's smoking this weed? I come out, and there's some black dude smoking this weed. I still don't know who it was. It was Puff Daddy. It's Sean Combs. He was a big boxer.
Really?
Him and the Princess Seaman Med were tight, real tight.
Okay. Not a surprise. Of course, you know, Prince Nassim Hamed burst on the American scene here in New York at the Garden. He fought Kevin Kelly.
Yep.
In an absolute war.
Yeah, the Prince Nassim Hamed, what a flake he turned out to be. Straight up, have a good week. Kiss the kids, hug the wife, take her to dinner, and make sure you take care of your daughter for me.
Absolutely. I will do all the above. Thank you for having me on, and have a great week, bro.
The great Socrates Palmer, Boxing's 2PhD on Ring Talk, live worldwide, and no holds barred.
Do you own either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-725-1651. 800-725-1651. That's 800-725-1651. Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp now for free information on how to get started today. InventHelp provides invention services that help everyday inventors get started with their idea. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. Our services include professional materials needed to showcase your invention, and 3D animation and prototype modeling that help you demonstrate your idea. Get down to the details of your idea with a technical drawing. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Take advantage of the opportunity to get started today.
Call 1-800-356-7308. That's 1-800-356-7308. Again, 1-800-356-7308.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He would try, and then I would bring it back down, and it worked, man. I just wanted to gas him out and get him tired. You know, he's a big boy. He's got a lot of muscle on him, you know, and there's a lot of oxygen to carry for a big boy like that.
Stipe Miocic, of course, talking about Francis Ngannou, who would beat him the second time around. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. A little bit of a painful production. Of course, Rich the Fight Historian on YouTube. He's like a superstar, without a doubt, a historian. I mean, the guy's got it down. Evidently, he's from the Bay Area or somewhere around the Bay Area. Anyway, bottom line is he did a special on Jimmy Lester. Jimmy Lester was a Bayview blaster, the Bayview bomber, call him what you want. He was 41-20 with three draws. He got stopped twice, had 31 KOs, knocked out Seferino Hernandez in like 1965 when Hernandez was ranked number two in the world. The bottom line is he was an opponent for the most part. He could punch, okay? He was used and abused, of course. And when he was ranked number five in the world, what did they do? They had him taking on fights. They had him taking chump fights for small money that he couldn't win. They just sacrificed him. There was absolutely no doubt about it. He was sacrificed like a lamb. He just was. So anyway, Jimmy Lester's retired. They tried to get him a job with the SF Police Department. I was a San Francisco cop at the time. We tried to get him a job working on the bus detail. They had a municipal railway police department, a little separate. You know, when you cheat and getting on the back of the bus, you got a cop say, hey, you didn't pay to get on, and that kind of stuff. Anyway, Jimmy got out of hand, and that fight, that didn't work for him. He got a little rough. It didn't work for him. So anyway, I get a call one day. I'm working at a patrol station. I get a call to go out to the Geneva Towers. The Geneva Towers is now a raised. They were two buildings, sort of like the World Trade Centers in New York City. And in San Francisco, they stood out in the Geneva area, right near the Daly City border, and they stood about 15 or 20 stories each, okay? I kid you not, they were huge, 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 huge events. So anyway, I get a call one day that somebody's climbing up the side of the building, like Superman, like Spider-Man or something like that, and I go over, and guess who it is? It's Jimmy Lester, and I'm talking to him on the loudspeaker. Jimmy, it's Pedro. What the hell are you doing? So anyway, bottom line is I got up to about the 13th or the 14th floor, and I went out on the balcony. He was coming up, and he says, Bean, I got to see my kids, man. My wife won't let me see my kids. I got to see my kids. And see, the CTE had already set in. He was already punch drunk. There was absolutely no doubt about it. Booze, drugs maybe, but evidently, obviously, he was punch drunk, okay? So anyway, I coaxed him in off the balcony, and I got him in and took him downstairs. We didn't handcuff him or anything like that. My lieutenant at the time was Gregory Crowless, probably the greatest policeman in the history of San Francisco, if not of all cops. Bottom line is he was a Dirty Harry of Dirty Harrys. Anyway, we brought him back to the station. No, the lieutenant came out to the Geneva Towers. He said, what are you going to do with him? I said, I don't know what to do with him. He goes, here's $40. Give him $40. Take him wherever he wants to go. Why? He goes, that guy gave a lot to us. We need to give him something back. So we gave him something back. A few months later, he was in Laguna Honda a convalescent hospital because he was far too gone as far as the CTE was concerned. But Jimmy Lester, Rich the Fight historian, I got a little sad on that one. Almost cried. They showed me some old pictures of Newman's gym and this and that. Made me feel really bad. Bottom line is, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two coming up after that. Bias, unbelievable BS news coming up. Of course, it's all fiction. You know that. But straight up, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. No holds barred after the break.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson. It's another day of crippling ice in the Mid-South. In East Memphis, Arkansas, correspondent God Venegas is barely able to stand up because of the sheet of ice on the ground.
Almost everyone I've spoken to today, yesterday, that said they went on the road at some point during the storm because they had to get to a place, say they saw a vehicle spin out of control or run into a patch of ice.
And airline passengers are again running into problems. FlightAware counts about 550 flights into or out of Dallas-Fort Worth International canceled or delayed. It's a different kind of cold facing Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. The Minnesota Democrats facing expulsion from the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
It's not a public policy debate. It's not about accountability. It's about political revenge.
The opinion of House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Speaker Kevin McCarthy says it's about anti-Semitic comments that Omar made about 4 years ago. President Biden's talking cooperation.
We can come together to do big things for the country. We can join hands and get things done.
At this morning's National Prayer Breakfast, Biden said if we try, we can find more things that unite us than divide us. Republican attorneys general in 20 states are warning the big drugstore chains CVS and Walgreens do not mail abortion pills to customers in their states. Both chains recently applied to the FDA to fill prescriptions for those pills in states where they're legal. Labor Department says new claims for unemployment insurance dropped last week, but the HR firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says job cuts last week hit the highest number in nearly 2.5 years. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft says he would love to sign Tom Brady to a one-day contract so he can retire as a Patriot, where he spent 20 years. Brady announced his retirement yesterday. This is USA News.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place. Nothing is
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Two recent mass shootings in California have prompted some state lawmakers to try to strengthen the Golden State's concealed carry laws. One law would set a minimum age of 21 to get a permit. Another group is calling on President Biden to come up with a plan to stop gun violence, especially when it involves assault weapons.
I agree with the rights of people's own guns and firearms. However, assault weapons, those things, they don't have a purpose in our society.
That's Kathy Taylor, who heads the group called Journey Forward, which helps gun violence victims. It's among more than 100 groups calling on the president to come up with a plan by next week's State of the Union address. You've heard a lot about how the world's bee population has suffered in recent years. One reason, they're losing access to natural wildflowers when we develop bare land and replace much of it with lawns.
A lot of people like to have a really clean, manicured yard that's just pure grass, but what you're effectively doing then is creating a food desert for the bees.
That's Kyle Grubbs with the USDA's Bee Lab outside Washington, D.C. But research geneticist Karen Harris-Schultz says lawns don't have to be all that bad for bees. Just depends how often you mow.
about a 14-day interval is enough to produce the flowers. So if they're mowing every 14 days, that should be okay. And of course, mowing once a month is probably even better.
Mowing less often allows your grass to flower, which gives the bees something to harvest. I'm Rich Johnson, USA News.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never thought I'd care about gardening until I bought a house in the suburbs. But now I find myself in conversations about liquid fertilizer, and I wonder, am I the fertilizer guy now? No, no way. Everyone knows the ratio between phosphorus and nitrogen, right? Yeah, I'm still totally cool.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again. Over and over. Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is the one, the only, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated, 37, no, make that 38 plus years now, of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am ever so modest host. Excuse me, when I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion. I mean, I could fight at one point in time. And I'm an award-winning writer. So I was schooled in high school and college and worked as a journalist, both in boxing world, of course, and the true crime world. Straight up, I know my stuff, but you know more. So I open up the toll-free just for you at the top of each hour. 1-800-878-7529. You got something to say? Want to blast me? You got an opinion? I don't care. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the no-commitment text line. You can text me here in the studio. That's more popular. People are scared to go on there. I don't know why. Colin Seymour did a story on me in the San Jose Mercury News, I guess about 1995. A long, long time ago. Anyway, he said that people were scared to call, that I would, like, dump on them or flush them down the toilet. We don't do that gag anymore. We don't even have the toilet anymore. Cuddy got rid of that. Bottom line is, we don't do that. don't be scared to impart if you'd like to. 1-800-878-7529. Shakur Stevenson, maybe the best fighter in the world, pound for pound. Maybe not. Of course, 19-0, 9 knockouts. Of course, the 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Bottom line is, he is in action against a guy by the name of Shuichiro Yoshino, who's 16-0 with 12 KOs out of Japan. What can he do? Not much. Bottom line is, looks like a route for Shakur Stevenson. Why doesn't he fight somebody good? Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel, because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's macho time.
Tower of Power handles the theme music. Of course, you can check them out at towerofpower.com. Purchase the CD, downloads, whatever they got going on. Emilio and the gang have it for you at towerofpower.com. No doubt about that. Now, wow. I can't believe it, but on January 22nd, the anniversary just passed, of course, Joe Frazier was defending the World Heavyweight Championship. Joe Frazier, a couple years earlier in 1971, of course, had beaten Muhammad Ali in that big comeback fight for Ali. Of course, the greatest fight of all time. Ali gets knocked down in the 12th round, in the 15th round, got really hurt in the 12th round. I mean, the 12th round, I think he was hurt. As hurt as he ever was in his entire career. Anyway, Ali entered that fight 31-0. He lost a 15-round decision. George Foreman will go on to fight a guy by the name of Terry Daniels, who was like a bit of a club fighter. That was in New Orleans. Then he fought Omaha, Nebraska's very own Ron Stander. Stander just died about 6 or 7 months ago. Stander was 23-1-1. Stander wasn't that great of a fighter. Anyway, so they're going to set up the rematch between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier for the big money. I mean, after that first fight in the Garden, of course, it sold out. 1 billion people watched this fight around the world. 1 billion people in 1971. 1 billion people watched this fight live in 1971. So I'm trying to say the second fight was going to be hell. I mean, it was going to be the biggest event of all time, no doubt about it. But Joe Frazier had a bit of a problem. He didn't like Muhammad Ali's marketing techniques. He thought that Ali dogged him afterwards. He didn't want to give Ali more money. He didn't want to give Ali the same amount of money. I mean, the bottom line is it was all about money with Joe. And I told you about Joe Frazier. We went to the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and I asked him one time. I mean, he was charging for an autograph. I said, you're the former world heavyweight champion. You think you should be really charging people $25 for an autograph? You should see it. Joe had a few drinks. Hey, I'm telling you, Anthony, he jumped up all off the chair. He like wanted to grab me by the throat. I thought I was done. But I mean, here's a heavyweight champion of the world charging somebody, a boxing fan who paid to get into the International Boxing Hall of Fame festivities. They paid to get in there. I mean, you didn't, don't walk in there free, okay? And then he was charging $25 for an autograph. So I had a problem with that, and I brought it up with Joe. And Joe, of course, had no problem voicing his opinion, no doubt about that. But January 22nd, 1973, George Foreman's the opponent. Joe Frazier's about a 3.5 to 4 to 1 favorite. George Foreman, of course, the 1968 Olympic gold medalist, a man I watched here in the gym here in San Francisco beat up people in Newman's gym, the aforementioned Newman's gym, talking about Jimmy Lester, now number one. But George Foreman ruled Newman's gym. He was from Newark, California, which is across the bay near Hayward, California, and he was like across the San Mateo Bridge, and he was there as part of the Neighborhood Job Corps. In other words, a program I think President Johnson put together originally, and what it did was it took kids off the street and gave them like some structure, some schooling, some job training, and that kind of good stuff. So George Foreman was over in Newark, California, and somebody said, hey, you want to learn how to box? Box? What are you talking about? Box? Anyway, George went to Newman's gym. Before you knew it, he won the 1968 Golden Gloves. Of course, I would win the Golden Gloves 4 times after that. But the bottom line is, he won the 1968 Golden Gloves, and then he went on to win the gold medal. So after winning the gold medal, he comes back to the city by the bay, San Francisco, and he's training in Newman's gym. And I'm watching him beat up guys like me and Anthony. I mean, he's just beating up bums. I mean, every day he's beating up bums in the gym. I mean, just trouncing him. Guys, if he outweighed by 70 or 80 pounds, he was a bully. He was a stone-cold bully, all right? And my father told me he was a bully. He's a bully, Pete. He's a bully. Okay. But the bully was kicking everybody's ass. And he was undefeated, 37 and zip. So he goes into this fight with George Foreman. This is in Kingston, Jamaica. He goes into this fight with George Foreman, and Frazier is a 3.5, almost a 4-to-1 favorite. I mean, how could he be? The guy's, you know, smaller, doesn't punch all that hard when you consider how hard George is. Anyway, bottom line is, the odds makers, I think, were in on this one. Anyway, George Foreman weighed 217. Joe Frazier weighed 214. The fight ended early. Let's hear the fight. The actual call from Howard Cosell.
We'll find out tonight how much the Ali fight took out of Frazier, if anything. And we'll find out tonight just how good George Foreman is in punching and in taking a punch. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. I think Joe is hurt. Angie Dundee, Ali's trainer, right next to me is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory 8-count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner. He is as poised as can be. We have a minute left in this first round, and already this fight is proving out what some have expected. Oh, that left is getting in there. Underneath, Archie Moore is yelling to Foreman. We've got the excitement here that we look for. Frazier is dazed. He is getting hit again and again and again. The same head that was hit so often by Muhammad Ali. Frazier is dazed. You see the countdown for the first round. Foreman has not panicked. Foreman is going about his job. Foreman is all over Joe Frazier. Frazier is down again, and he may be. No, he is rising. He is game. He doesn't know where he is. The mandatory 8-count. He doesn't know where he is. Now the round is about to end. 2 knockdowns in the first round of Joe Frazier. Down again. No saving by the bell.
Wow, what can I say? Of course, Joe Frazier surrendering the heavyweight championship of the world to George Foreman in the second round. Of course, George would go on to defend that title until he ran into Muhammad Ali, the Rumble in the Jungle. Now, get this. I watched Foreman train for a lot of his fights. I said he was a bully in the gym. But what really got me about George Foreman in his first tier, because there were two different men. The first guy, as I said, the bully, the asshole, for lack of a better word. That's the best way I could put it. The guy was a creep. There's absolutely no doubt about it. All he wanted to do was scare people. He wanted people to fear him. He would snarl at us. We were sitting in the cheap seats. Sometimes we'd pay a quarter or 50 cents to watch him spar in the gym. Okay, we sitting in the stands, right? And he'd snarl at us. And he always wanted to be the mean guy, the tough guy, the rough guy. Of course, then he ran into Muhammad Ali, got humbled. The Rumble in the Jungle, 1974. Of course, I remember when Muhammad Ali told him after the third round, George, is that all you got? That all you got, George? That's all you got? Because George was tired, okay? He got into George's head, no doubt about that. Of course, stopping George in the eighth round, George lost the heavyweight championship of the world. But George will go on to have a couple more fights after that. And, of course, he fight with Jimmy Young and Ron Lyle, things like that. But the one fight, I think it was a Young fight, he saw God. He said that when he got knocked down one time, he said God told him to get up or something like that. And he felt God was in his life from that point forward in his life. And he sort of changed into a different guy. I mean, George Foreman, that creep, that guy that was pathetic, I didn't want to be around, the guy that got, get this, Anthony, he got a German Shepherd. He put a German Shepherd up on a table at a hotel balcony, okay? It was about 15 floors off the ground. And he says, I bet you I can get this dog to jump off this table. He bet somebody to do that. He got the dog to jump off the table. The dog jumped off the table to his death 13 floors below. So George Foreman was not a nice guy. Ron Weathers told me that was his manager. He was not a nice guy. George Foreman was a creep. Okay? And then he had that God thing. And guess what? It was for real. I kid you not. I knew George the first time. I did George's fight back in 1989. I think I was in Galveston, Texas, doing a fight for FNN Sports, doing the television. And there was George Foreman taking on J.B. Williams from the former light heavyweight champion. Of course, George, in his first comeback, didn't grab the heavyweight championship the first time around. Of course, lost to Evander Holyfield in 1993. But he would come back and then, of course, knock out Michael Moore. And was Michael Moore famous for getting knocked out by an old man? I mean, come on. Michael Moore's got to be going to therapy for the rest of his life. I would. If I got knocked out by an old man that was fat, old, and slow as George Foreman was, and he knocked me out, and I mean he knocked me out, I was snoring almost. I was sitting with my eyes open. I didn't know what he was in another world. The bottom line is that's what he's famous for. That's why, listen, Michael Moore was the head case before George Foreman knocked him out. Let me tell you. He was part of the Kronk Gym in Detroit, Michigan, okay? He used to make bombs in his room. Thank God I wasn't staying there at the time because I stayed at Kronk a whole bunch of times in Emmanuel's house in Detroit. But I stayed there a whole bunch of times. But never did I stay there when Michael Moore was part of the Kronk crew, okay? He was making bombs in his room. Bombs. No, I'm not talking about firecrackers. Bombs. How do I know this? He took a bomb. He put it out on the fence, the gate at Emmanuel's house, and he blew the fence down. I kid you not. There's a big hole. The Emmanuel had to have people come out, contractors come out and redo the fence. That's what a nut job he was, okay? Of course, the same house in which Gerald McClellan lived in. And Gerald McClellan, of course, we talked about him in hour number one, how he got destroyed in that fight with Nigel Benn because of the poor officiating of the referee, the long count, that kind of good stuff, got knocked out of the ring. But the bottom line is Gerald was a piece of work. Gerald was into fighting pit bulls. Anybody that's into fighting pit bulls, I don't like at all. And me and Gerald became tight after this because, I mean, after the injuries and things like that, I mean, not tight per se, but we talked before, and then I did this big fundraiser for him back in Rockport, Illinois, along with Jerry Cooney and things like that. So we were trying to help fighters that were down on their luck. You know, Gerald McClellan got injured permanently, no doubt about that. Of course, and Greg Page, the kid from Louisville, Kentucky, the heir apparent to Muhammad Ali, not really, but the bottom line is he did hold a portion of the heavyweight title. Greg Page was there in a wheelchair. Of course, Greg got injured in the fight, and I believe 1995 or something like that. That was in Louisville, Kentucky, when they didn't put any padding on the ring. All they did was put the cover over the ring. So when he fell down, he hit his head on the edge of the steel ring. It was a steel ring, you know, the iron plate underneath the ring. That's what he hit his head on. That's where he suffered permanent brain damage. Bottom line is that put him in a wheelchair until he died. Greg Page, may he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, George Foreman going on to knock out Jerry Cooney. Man, Jerry Cooney and him, that was the Geezers of Caesars. That was the original Geezers of Caesars. Two old guys getting out of Caesars Palace, Atlantic City. Man, I miss Caesars. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, Sadly, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. That's 800-918-4086. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there.
Straight up, of course, The Great Earthquake on HBO, back when it was Home Box Office. I kid you not, it wasn't HBO, it was Home Box Office. Do you have Home Box Office? No, I don't. Bottom line is, of course, they brought boxing into the world. 1978, of course, Seth Abraham coming together with Don King and putting together a heavyweight title series. Of course, then later on, Mike Tyson would come into the picture. And, of course, Julio Cesar Chavez, all the different stars of HBO. Of course, over the years, Marvin Hagler was with Top Rank, Sugar Ray Leonard. Of course, HBO was the, without a doubt, the champagne of boxing. I mean, you know, some of these broadcasts you watch nowadays, and I don't want to knock and rag on the people on ESPN, but I will to an extent. They want to talk the entire time. A boxing round is 180 seconds long. 3 minutes, okay? We don't need to hear you guys talk for 3 minutes. Boxing is a self-explanatory sport. Good right hand. Yeah, you saw the guy hit him with the right hand. You don't have to tell somebody that for the most part. I mean, if something's super duper, you mention it. But the bottom line is these talking heads, especially ESPN and now DAZN. Oh, my God. They got chicks doing it. I'm not down on chicks doing that. But the chick's got to get her time in. I can tell her. She goes, I'm not talking enough in this round. So she's got to talk some more. Listen, we don't need talking heads. You can be done. I did this. Me and Mills Lane and Al Bernstein did TV back in the day. Just the three of us. Judge Mills Lane was a judge. Me and Al did the blow-by-blow. I did the color. The bottom line is we didn't have 19 people stepping on each other fighting for airtime. That's what it's all about on TV nowadays. Showtime, ESPN, whether it's Tim Brad, and they're all fighting for airtime. They're all fighting for airtime because they got to get that airtime, got to get that airtime. It's taken away from the broadcast, okay? Boxing is self-explanatory. It's in a squared circle. That's why they put it on television. It's in a squared circle. They put in a squared circle on a squared box, Okay? Square on square is very easy to watch, very easy to score. You don't need to be telling people, hey, what's happening? Bottom line is Anthony Joshua. Wow. Anthony Joshua, of course, the former 2012 Olympic gold medalist, the guy that I was so high on until I found out he couldn't fight. Well, he couldn't fight. Of course, he's been beat twice by a fat man. Got beat by a fat man, and then he beat an obese man. What I mean is he beat Andy Ruiz the first time around, or Auntie Louise, whatever you want to call him. Bottom line is he beat Andy Ruiz beat him the first time. Andy was in decent shape, but he came in on the last minute. And, of course, he came in the second fight like 50 pounds heavier, about 35. But, you know, he was fat as a pig, so he was obese. So, I mean, Anthony Joshua beat an obese guy. And then he lost twice to a light heavyweight, but he lost to a small heavyweight in Oleg Usyk, not once but twice. And, of course, you know, what can you say about a guy that loses to a smaller guy? If I was 6'7", I'd still be kicking people's ass nowadays no matter how old I am. If you're 6'7", you should never lose a fight. You just shouldn't. Speaking of 6'7", Joe Joyce, the heavyweight sensation out of the UK. Yeah, right. Anyway, guess what? Joe Joyce, 16-0, I think, like 15 knockouts, something like that, 14 knockouts. Anyway, he's the UK's big hope after Tyson Fury. He's going to be like the big Tyson Fury opponent, I guess. If Tyson holds on to the title for another year and a half or so, him and Joe Joyce will make for like a 90,000-seat type of thing where they can sell it twice over, all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, unlimited amount of seats could be sold in the UK between Tyson Fury and Joe Joyce. Anyway, Joe Joyce is going to take on the once-beaten Chinese guy, and I'm not big on Chinese fighters. The reason why is I've been to China, and I trained some of them, and they're very one-dimensional. They just really, I mean, I told you about that one Chinese heavyweight I had. He tried to eat 28 strips of bacon at breakfast one day. I said to him, we're at a buffet. I said, go get yourself something to eat. I thought he'd come back like with some oatmeal and some fruit, because that's what I went and did. I went and got some oatmeal and some fruit, so I came back and was going to eat by example, right? So he came back with 28 pieces of bacon. There wasn't nothing else on his plate but 28. And the reason why I know there was 28 pieces of bacon is I counted each piece. I kid you not. Anyway, I took the bacon away from him. He got all pissed off. He told me, oh, you're fired. You can't fire me, man. And it didn't work that way. Bottom line is he lost, got knocked out in the first round against somebody. Of course, we tried to Harold Smith tried to fix a fight for him. It was the only fixed fight I think I've ever been involved with, and I didn't know it was fixed, so you can't blame me. But I looked in the ring and I saw this professional wrestler guy that was like about 70 years old was in there against this Chinese superstar who was supposed to be the next Bruce Lee. I mean, the karate, the kung fu, the kickboxing, he had it all, right? And he got beat up by this guy that couldn't fight a lick. I kid you not. The guy tried to knock him out. It didn't work anyway. At the end of the day, the fans rioted. I had to get the ring card girls out of there. I saved the women. I got the women. Get the women out of here. I got the women. I took the chicks across the street to the hotel. Four or five ring card girls. Me and the referee, John Shirley, was there with me, I believe, back when he was single. We were both single at that point in time. I still am. Anyway, bottom line is, that was an awful night as far as boxing was concerned in China. And, of course, the Macau Police Department came after us, this and that. I didn't know whether I needed to hide or whatever because, you know, I was the television guy. I was the ring announcer. I was a publicist. I was paying people. I mean, I was doing everything, okay? Everything. That's how I learned how to do a promotion, through Harold Smith. Anyway, doing everything for Harold. So I'm doing all these things, and I figure, man, they're going to come after me, right? The cops didn't come after me. They detained Harold for like 12 hours in a Macau jail, and they detained him for 12 hours, and they ended up releasing him because they had nothing on him. But the bottom line is, man, we pulled some stuff over there in Macau, and I'll never forget. The next night, I had to count $400,000 in $20 bills. Think about that for a second. 400 grand in 20s, okay? And I had to do it right, okay? Because they told me, they gave me a basket full of money. It wasn't like they were in bundles or anything like that. No, they gave me a basket full of money. So I had to count 400 grand. That took me about 7 or 8 hours. You try counting that kind of money, 7 or 8 hours. I had another guy with me. I had to take a break a couple times. Anyway, the Chinese paid us in cash, and I kept saying to myself, why are they paying us in cash? Why are they paying us in cash? Because Harold's not paying the taxes. Good old Harold Smith, I kid you not. May he rest in peace. Of course, born Ross Fields, he embezzled a better than $30 million from the Wells Fargo Bank in Los Angeles, California, to support Muhammad Ali Pro Sports Boxing. Of course, that was a promotional company back in the 1980s. They had people like Alexis Arguello, Larry Holmes, they tried to sign him. Remember when Harold Smith went to Don King's guy, I'm talking about Larry Holmes, was a heavyweight champion. He went to Larry Holmes' office, and he had a satchel full of money, like a half $500,000 in this satchel in cash. And he said, if you sign with me, I'll give you the 500 grand right now. You don't have to give it back to me. It's a bonus, et cetera, et cetera. So I remember Don King got on the phone. He was on the speaker. Harold told me exactly the way this went down. I hope I don't get in trouble for doing this exactly the way it went down. But get this. So Larry Holmes calls Don King on the phone and says, listen, man, Harold Smith just gave me $500,000. I'm going with him. I'm going to sign with him. Don't you sign with that nigga. Don't you sign with him. Are you crazy? Out of your effing mind, blah, blah, blah. I got somebody coming over there right now. Don King was going absolutely berserk on the phone, all right? So he tells Larry Holmes, you'll be in violation of a contract. I'll sue you. I'll take everything you got. So Larry says, let me let my lawyer look at it in the whole nine yards. Larry had to return the $500,000. He didn't take the $500,000 from Harold Smith. Harold Smith went on to embezzle that $23 to $30 million from the Wells Fargo Bank of Forest. He never went into the bank himself. He spent a couple years in the slam over it, but he never went into the bank himself. Get this. He embezzled close to $100 million. I think they were so embarrassed, or Wells Fargo was so embarrassed, they only copped it like 23 to 30. I kid you not. The FBI tried to say it was $30 million bucks. Yeah, who knows? Anyway, I think it was way, way more than that. In fact, I think at one point in time, Harold converted it to gold bullion. Why do I say that? Because we were coming back from China at one point in time. One trip we made to China. We made four trips over there. One time we were coming back, and he had this big duffel bag, okay? And it was it took four people to carry it. It took four of us to carry it. I had a Honda Civic. We put it in the trunk, and it made the car look like a lowrider, like I was an essay going down the strip. I kid you not. Lowriding some war song. I kid you not. So, I mean, that's what I think. I never got the Herald on that one as to what was in that bag, but I think it was gold bullion. As honest to God, I think it was gold bullion, because that's why I think he snuck over from China. Of course, there was also the deal in China where I bought 150,000 pairs of Converse All-Stars. No, because I like tennis shoes, right? So I bought 100. I didn't buy them, but I bought them. I went in there. I had the money. So me and Harold gives him the money. He says, you're going in here to do this. And I was Harold's guy. And it was like anything. I didn't think I was doing anything illegal. I mean, it's not counterfeit money. It's real money. Okay, I don't know how he got it, but the bottom line is I bought 150,000 pairs of counterfeit Converse tennis shoes, okay? Converse All-Star tennis shoes back in 1993, 94, somewhere around there. So anyway, we're going to smuggle them back. We're not going to smuggle them back. We're going to, you know, have them shipped back to the United States, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I think I paid $11,000. $11,000 for the 150,000 pairs, something like that. $11,000 and some change. Anyway, at the end of the day, it's going to make us back 10 bucks a pair. You know, we're going to make like, you know, $1 million easy, without a doubt. Didn't happen that way. The Chinese got hip to what we were doing. They froze our stuff at the port. They said if I wanted to have my tennis shoes, I had to come back to China. Probably not going to happen. It never did. I never went back. But the bottom line is that if I wanted to get my 150,000 pairs of Converse All-Stars, I had to go back to China, and I wasn't doing it. Straight up, another story from the Ring Talk archives. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Speaking of AJ, Anthony Joshua talked about him a little earlier. Of course, they're trying to set him up a fight in the UK. You know, I don't know. They want him training in the United States so he looks like he can fight American. Listen, you can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit. And when I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. You know what I'm talking about, right? You can't make it. He ain't the real deal. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Anthony, take it away.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, that's a change in society today. And that's it's a lot of, you know, we could get into that. We're going through a million things, even though they watch so many of the shows. I mean, it's nothing but stuff, whether it's a crime scene or this and that. It's always the TV show, and it's cutting up the body. Somebody's finding the body decomposed and all of it. This is a society right now that just totally out of focus. Excessive violence, excessive sex on TV and the music and the theaters. I mean, it's just a... And the sports, the only thing that they can relate to, which they see most, is basketball and football, mainly basketball. And that's what the kids are most far doing, and especially the black kids. And it's normal you want to go into something, what you see, you don't even see all the amateur boxing on TVs. A lot of people see something, that's what they want to be involved with, but they don't even see that anymore.
The Goldfather, Emanuel Stewart, the aforementioned head of the Kronk Gym, of course, Detroit, Michigan. God, I got to stay at his house. You would not believe what it was like to be around that guy. He just was an amazing man. You heard him at the end of his life there, probably about 8 or 10 minutes before he passed. He knew he was sick. He knew he was critically ill. He knew he was terminally ill. He knew he was going. But the bottom line is, in his last couple of years of life, Emanuel turned into a square, a very conservative. I mean, he was like the most liberal guy in the entire world. And he was talking about violence on television, things like that. So I was a little taken aback by that. But Emanuel Stewart made a bit of a transformation in that last couple of years. Of course, born in West Virginia in 1944, died October 25th, 2012. The Goldfather, no doubt about him. I definitely miss him. You know, all the stuff we did around the world. We were in China together. We were in Puerto Rico together. We were in Spain together. I mean, we spent a lot of nights together. And sometimes we drank, sometimes we didn't. We always talked. We were warm with one another. And, you know, there's not too many people I miss in boxing more than Emanuel Stewart. It's just not. I mean, and I don't want to get emotional here, but I really miss Emanuel. I don't know. I had to say that. I really miss Emanuel. Anyway, boxing. What is boxing all about? Boxing or MMA? And boxing is a battle of wills. MMA is a battle of wills. You're either trying to impose your will on somebody else and break theirs. That's what it's all about. Speaking of breaking people's wills, of course, Dana White, he breaks people's wills all the time because he doesn't pay him any money. But they had another card last night. I think it was Derek Lewis in the main event, of course, from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, UFC Apex Center. Sergey Spivak beat Derek Lewis, the aforementioned Derek Lewis, with an arm triangle choke in the first round, 305 in. Of course, that was a five-round main event, heavyweight. And the light heavyweight co-feature, Devin Clark, beat Jung Da-un. I guess he's from China. But the bottom line is another heavyweight bout. Marcin Tybura beat Blagoy Ivanov. Bottom line is none of these guys you ever heard of before. You probably never hear of them again. Bottom line is Dana doesn't have any guys. I mean, you look at the guys Dana puts on these cards now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Six fighters on the card don't have bios. Six fighters on the card don't have bios. In other words, they weren't UFC fighters. They were like, you know, off the street. Guys coming in off the street. And guess what? All those people, all except one, Quest take back, yeah, all except one loss, I kid you not. So if you don't have a bio, you're probably not going to win in the UFC. Going back to the UFC, of course, looking at their upcoming schedule, the only fight worthy of note, and it's not worthy of note, but the bottom line is there's one guy missing, the world heavyweight champion. I'm talking about Francis Ngannou, of course, decided to pursue a career in professional boxing or maybe another mixed martial arts league. The bottom line is he has not re-upped his contract with the UFC, even though he would have made a lot of money, he said, a whole lot of money, but Francis is a man of principle, a man of will, right on. He told Dana White where to go, and that's what some people need to do. Anyway, bottom line is John Jones is going to fight for the vacant championship. Of course, John Jones, a former light heavyweight champion, the man that's never really been beat in a MMA match. He lost that one fight when he was disqualified on the ground for doing some illegal blows, some elbows and this kind of stuff. But John Jones is going to take on Ciryl Gane, who fought Ngannou in his last fight. I think he went 5 rounds with him. Of course, that was a pretty good main event. Gane established himself well, but, you know, he was beaten handily, I thought. But anyway, he and John Jones, J-O-N Jones, for the World Light Heavyweight Championship. John Jones, John Bones Jones, of course, the guy that pulled that hit and run. He hit and run the car twice. He's the only guy in history I know to hit and run twice. What I mean by that is he pulled the hit and run the first time, and then he left some weed in the car. So he had to go back to the car and get his weed. He went back to the car, got his weed, then he left again. So he hit the car once, but he ran twice. Does that make sense? That's the way it went down. Anyway, John Jones having some coke problems, performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, talk about anabolic steroids, Flintstone vitamins, call them what you want, but John Jones is a piece of work. Anyway, he is undefeated. He's stepping up to heavyweight, taking on Ciryl Gane. The fight I really wanted to see was him and Francis Ngannou. I thought John Jones would evidently have enough fortitude to tell Dana White to go, hey, you know what, Dana, go get screwed. I'm going to go fight Francis Ngannou independently. That's what they should have done. They could have made more money than they're ever going to make in the UFC. John Jones, of course, he buckled down. He ended up, doing what Dana wanted to do. He's going to fight Ciryl Gane. Of course, the co-feature, Valentina Shevchenko, is going to take on Alexa Grasso. Shevchenko is the women's flyweight champion, 125 pounds. It's going to take place March the 4th, according to it, from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Outside of that, the rest of the UFC schedule just sort of sucks. I mean, you know, it just does. And they're going to do this fight. I think they're going to do this fight again. I don't know if they should be doing this fight again. Alex Pereira and Israel Adesanya, isn't that the fight where Adesanya almost got killed the last time? Didn't he? Like he's still snoring. I mean, he got knocked into another world. Why did they listen? When Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier the third time, the Thriller in Manila, okay, he should have took a year off after that fight. Instead, they had him in the ring 90 days later. I kid you not, they had him in the ring 90 days later. The Muslims, like the pimps that they were, and I can say this, they were some pimps, okay? You think that Elvis Presley was pimped off by that Colonel Tom Parker? Well, Muhammad Ali was pimped off by the Muslims. And I can say that. You know, I asked Ali about it one time. I said, you know, you give these people half your money. I mean, what's up with that? For every dollar you make, you give a dollar to the Muslims. What's up with that? He goes, listen, man, if I hadn't got hooked up with the Muslims, he goes, I'd just be another nigga. I'd just be some ex-champ, some black guy. That's all. That's all it'd be. Cassius Clay. What is Cassius Clay compared to Muhammad Ali? He had a point there. I didn't argue with him on that. But the bottom line is, of course, he made a big transition. 1964, won the heavyweight championship. 1965, comes back, wants to be Muhammad Ali. They don't want to call him Muhammad Ali. People on TV calling him Clay. Rocky Marciano, of course, the only heavyweight to retire undefeated as champion, 49-0, even though the average guys he fought were like 35 to 36 years old. And, you know, he wasn't that much. I mean, you know, he's the greatest white hype of all time, Rocky Marciano. Yes, he was great for his time, but the bottom line is most of the guys he was fighting were like old men. I mean, he fought Joe Louis. Joe Louis was so old, it was sad. It really was. Anyway, Marciano, I don't give a whole lot of respect for. A guy that died a couple weeks ago, I want to mention this, Jerry Cossia, the former WBA heavyweight champion of South Africa, Johannesburg, South Africa, of course. He was opposed to apartheid. I looked at some pictures of Jerry and his declining days, and it was pretty obvious that Jerry was suffering from pugilist dementia. Just from the pictures I saw, I saw a video, the way he was moving this and that. Of course, the residual effects of professional boxing, I talked about a little earlier, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Whoo, did I say it almost? Anyway, the bottom line is CTE. It's a killer. And I think that the longer you fight, the greater the risk is. And of course, if you take them blows to the head, like, you know, you're getting hit by baseballs and baseball bats and things like that, and steel pipes, you're probably going to have CT a little quicker than somebody gets hit with a boxing glove. Now, why do I say that? Because according to some Canadian study that I looked at, they study professional boxing, mixed martial arts, and professional football, and MMA was 3-1 over boxing as far as giving you a CT type of injury, and the NFL was 2-1. Speaking of the NFL, I didn't know, but Mark Gastineau had passed away. I didn't mention that. But Mark Assel, of course, the former man of the Sack Exchange, of course, somebody sent me that this week that he passed away. I didn't know that he passed away. I was talking about he was the number. I can't remember what his exact number was, but the bottom line is he was like a predominant, a super player with the New York Jets. He just was. I mean, everybody knew him, the Sack Exchange, all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, hell, he's still alive. Why did somebody just send me a text saying, Mark Gastineau's dead. Can you talk about that? Well, unless he died in the last 10 minutes, he's not dead. But he is punchy. He's got Alzheimer's or pugilistic dementia. Call it what you want. But he's got himself a fine woman, so he's still hanging out with that Bridget Nielsen broad. So more power to him. But the bottom line is, you know, CTE has taken its toll on him. I remember at one point in time, of course, we were doing a boxing match together, and I couldn't get his attention during a pay-per-view interview. He won the fight by knockout. He knocked out some bum like Anthony. I mean, just knocked out some schmear up in Reno, Nevada. Okay, just some slow, cold schmear. It was on the Greg Haugen, Ray Mancini undercard. And, of course, Greg Haugen won that fight in the eighth round. Anyway, so he knocks out this bum. I'm supposed to interview him after the fight. So we have him over there. Let's go to Pedro Fernandez and Mark Gastineau. And I couldn't get Mark's attention. I said like three times I went to him. Hey, Mark. Anyway, it didn't work. I had to step on his foot. And when I say step on his foot, I stomped on his foot. That finally got his attention. So Mark Gastineau showing the early signs of CT and or Alzheimer's or whatever you want to call it. Pro Bowl. NFL dementia. They call it pugilistic dementia. Why don't we call it gridiron dementia? Because that's what it is. Gridiron dementia. Anyway, born in 1956. I wish him the very best, but evidently he doesn't know who he is at this point in time. You know, that's the sad. Anytime I see these guys, and what you guys don't realize is that, you know, you want to see these wars. I mean, somebody said to me the other day, man, they stopped that fight too soon. No, they didn't stop it too soon. They probably stopped at the right time. Let me tell you why. One time I was in a fight and I got knocked down in Las Vegas at the Showboat Hotel fighting in the National Golden Gloves. I look across the ring. I get up, shake myself up. I look across the ring. There's eight guys standing there. I'm only fighting one guy, but there's eight of them. Okay? There's eight guys standing there. So I look over at the referee and there's three of them. Three referees. So there's 11 people in the ring, including me. That's 12. 12 people in the ring. There's only supposed to be three people in the ring. Okay? That's how messed up, that's how scrambled my brain was. But I was smart enough to realize when the referee said, you want to continue? I said, no. How many guys do you think wouldn't have, most guys would say, yeah, I'm okay. And they go, four. I had a career at that point in time. I didn't need boxing, okay? But the bottom line is, if you need boxing, maybe you'll step forward and say, I wasn't hurt. At that point, I was hurt. Thank God I stopped that fight because I'm telling you, the residual effects of having a concussion, that was the only time I was ever concussed in a boxing match. I had a concussion. I suffered that night some weird effects. I had some sleeping issues, this and that. And I woke up the next day, a little slight headache, this and that, slight headache. But that was different than any experience I ever suffered boxing. I suffered experience in boxing. I never got knocked out in the gym. Again, never got knocked out until my ex-girlfriend's 75-year-old father knocked me out in the street fight one time. He didn't knock me out in the street fight. I was kicking his son's ass. His son like got bold with me or something like that. And I'm being his sister's boyfriend. I said, yeah, man, are you crazy? Just said, go back in the house. I'm like, so he got bold with me. So he threw a punch and I knocked him out. And because I was standing over him, the father came out of the house. And the father was like 77 years old, the father at 12. And he hit me on the chin and knocked me down. I had never been knocked down before. From that point forward, I guess my chin was dented. And I got knocked down in a couple of fights after that. I was knocked down five times in 52 fights, 38 and 14 as a whole. United States PAL champion at one point in time, 1984. Four-time Golden Glove champion. I think about all the things right now. Man, boxing has been so good to me. My participating in boxing, I think, opened myself up, opened my eyes up as a journalist because, you know, I ended up winning a lot of awards for my boxing writing. And the reason why I was able to write about boxing so smoothly was that I was a boxer and a writer. In other words, I was a writer first before I became a boxer. I was schooled as a writer. In junior high school, I wrote for other people to read, starting back at the age of 13 and started getting good to me, this and that. And by the age of 15, 16, I was starting to win awards. And by the 17, 18, they were saying to me, maybe you should go to this college. But of course, I wanted to join the police department instead. So the writing career got put on hold for a long time. But the bottom line is, when you look back at boxing, and you know, you say to yourself, and you watch these fights on TV, and you want them to continue, you really don't want them to continue. You don't, because you don't see these guys afterwards. I see them afterwards, okay? I try to talk to them afterwards. I mean, some guys can remember me, some guys can't. I mean, case in point, Jesse James Laiha had like, I think, 40 or 50 fights, right? He's perfect as far as memory is concerned. The residual effects of professional boxing did not affect him, okay? People like Bobby Chacon, he's the thing. I was Cornelius Bose Edwards. Bose Edwards, now I'm not knocking him or anything like this, but he's black as a chalkboard. Compared to me, he's like, that's like 19 shades of difference, okay? But he thought I was Bose Edwards. That's how bad Bobby Chacon was at one point in time. What am I trying to tell you at the end of the day? The residual effects of professional boxing are not pretty. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-725-1651. 800-725-1651. That's 800-725-1651.
Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. Sing along if you know the words. And I knew if I had my chance.
Tyson Fury, the world heavyweight champion, trying to do his Don McLean hit. Of course, American Pie. Bottom line is, who's he going to fight? Is he going to fight Oleg Usyk or not? Bottom line is, you know, he is the heavyweight champ. We need to see him in action. He's talking about this, talking about that. The bottom line is, I'd really like to see him fight Francis Ngannou. I really would, the former UFC champion. Bottom line is, I want to say this before we go. Listen, I used to work at Pier 39 in San Francisco. Okay, I was part of the management team down there back in the, oh, I guess in 2008 to 2011. So anyway, Pier 39 is like Disneyland in San Francisco, like the biggest tourist attraction, number 4 in the country. So I'm working there. I'm running the security department, partially running the security department. Anyway, I've got a couple kids working for me named Alex and J.C. Telez, okay? So they were nice kids. They were, you know, rough kids from the hood, this and that, but I got them in shape. They didn't like the fact when I came to work there I was military-like and they had to be on time and this kind of good stuff and their boots had to be polished and that kind of good stuff. But I made these guys into, like, really good soldiers, really good, efficient employees. They were there all the time. And when I told them if I smell booze in your breath, you got our smooth booze on you, you go home right then and there. You don't get paid for the day, the whole night. So I really got strict with these guys. And I got them pretty good together. We're pretty together. So when I left Pier 39, I guess that sort of fell apart. Now, the reason why I'm bringing that up is that J.C. Camacho fell into a world of meth. J.C. Telez fell into a world of meth, and he died about 2 years ago during the pandemic, okay, from an opioid type of thing. But the bottom line is that was sad. It was meth, and then it was opioids, right? So then his brother Alex... His other Alex just died a few weeks ago from alcohol poisoning. I kid you not. And he was like 34 years old. So what I'm trying to say is, man, booze, speed, hard drugs, it's just not the way to go. I really not. Of course, the most addictive things in the entire world, in my world, as far as when I'm looking around, I see cigarettes and alcohol being the most depressing and the most addictive. So the bottom line is, that's where that's at. Enough negatives. February the 11th. Ray Vargas going to fight on Showtime, of course, for the 130-pound championship of the WBC. Of course, this will take place against Mauricio Lara. That should be a good fight. That'll be on the Zone for the WBA featherweight title. Take that back. Showtime versus Ray Vargas, WBC super featherweight title, February the 11th versus Oshika Foster. Man, am I screwing up at the end of the show. Bottom line is, I better get out of here. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Anthony, thank you for tolerating me. As do the listeners. Straight up, until next time, peace, love, and lots of respect from Pedro Fernandez. This is a production of Sports Byline.
I got to make it right for everyone concerned.